Catholic bishops are called to be shepherds of souls, but our Lord warns against hirelings and thieves watching over the flock instead. So what is your bishop? A shepherd, a hireling, or a thief? That's what we're going to talk about today on Crisis Point. Hello, I'm Eric Sammons, your host, the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before we get started, just want to remind you, as I always do at this time, to smash that like button and to subscribe to the channel. Let other people know about it. We really appreciate how much the channel is growing and you letting other people know about what we're doing here. Just keep doing it. Also, you can follow us on social media at Crisis Mag at all the different social media channels. Now, so today I want to talk about the bishops. I've been thinking about the episcopacy, the role of the bishops a lot lately. I recently gave two separate talks in Chicago that were very related to each other, some overlap between them, about the office of bishop, about our current crop of American bishops, and what to think about that. And I've also been reading, going through John 10, which talks about the Good Shepherd, which I'm going to go through here, and that's kind of the basis for this podcast. And it reminds me that, so when I first became Catholic, for the first maybe 10, 15 years, I really didn't like when Catholics, mostly trads, would criticize the bishops. I felt like it was disrespectful to the office of the episcopacy, that it was bishop bashing. It wasn't really in keeping with what a good and faithful Catholic would do. Now, I would argue, I would admit that there are probably a lot of people who would say that I engage in bishop bashing at Crisis on this podcast. And I understand that criticism because, like I said, I had it for a number of years. I would just say, however, that I've kind of come to realize that a lot of, not everybody, but a lot of the people who criticize the bishops, they actually have a higher opinion of the office of the episcopacy than those Catholics who refuse to criticize. Because those who refuse to criticize, I think they look at bishops more on a human level as kind of like political leaders, and that we don't criticize our party, so to speak, the members of our party. But really, the episcopacy is a divine institution that comes from God. And so when a bishop does not live up to that role, that office, they're open to criticism. Now, yes, that criticism can go too far. When you start criticizing personal attacks against the person rather than critiquing what their actions are doing or their beliefs, that you're crossing lines. When you use disrespectful ways of talking about them, that can also be crossing the line. Yet at the same time, as Catholics, we should expect a lot out of our bishops. We should expect them to be shepherds. And so when they're not shepherds, I think it's okay to call them out. We see in sacred scripture this happens, where the shepherds of Israel in the Old Testament and the religious leaders in the Gospels, they are called out when they do not fulfill their roles as shepherds. And so I don't think it's untoward or somehow against the Catholic faith or somehow distasteful for Catholics to criticize bishops at times. I think it must be done in the right way, in a spirit of prayer, in a spirit of constructive criticism, all those things. So that all being said, that's kind of like just my intro. I really want to talk about today something that struck me in reading John chapter 10. And I'll pull this up, particularly verses 1 through 18, but in particular verses 10 through 13. But I'll pull it up here on the screen. And for those who are listening, I'll read it to you. You can read along too. It's John 10, and I'm using the RSVCE translation. And our Lord says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Okay, before I continue, think there's four figures in this passage that Jesus talks about: the shepherd, the hireling, the thief, and the wolf. So think of those four figures as we go on. So he says, the one who climbs in by another way, not through the door, is a thief and a robber, but he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not heed them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and cares nothing for the sheep." Okay, I'll stop there. So let's again talk about these figures. We have the shepherd. What is the shepherd? A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It says he owns the sheep, because in verse 12 it says he is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, meaning for the shepherd, the sheep are his. So he owns the sheep. He lays down his life for them. That's the first figure. The hireling is the one who is basically paid to watch the sheep. He values his wages more than the sheep. And so when the wolf comes, he's like, okay, this is not worth the wages I'm making. He flees. And so the wolf snatches up the sheep and scatters them. The thief is one who comes in not through the door. He comes in another way. And what does he do? He comes to steal and kill and destroy. That's what the thief does. And then you have the wolf, who comes in, obviously, to snatch up the sheep and to scatter them. It also mentions the stranger. So I actually didn't see that until just now. The stranger, the sheep do not follow the stranger. But I'll talk. So I want to break this down. I would argue every bishop today and at any time is one of three figures. He is a shepherd, he is a hireling, or he is a thief. I just want to also note that this is not some authoritative reading of the Bible that is magisterial or anything like that. This is just a Lectio Divina type of way of reading the Bible, looking at determining this is one interpretation of it. There are other valid interpretations. If you read St. Thomas Aquinas, you'll note when he's going through his commentaries on scripture, he often gives multiple interpretations that sometimes look like they contradict, or at least they say very different things. And that's okay. St. Thomas just leaves it like that. And I think that's what we're doing here is, here's one interpretation as I see it. So there are shepherds, there are hirelings, and there are thieves. Those are the three types of men that a bishop can be. First are the shepherds. These are the men who lay down their life for their sheep. They really look at the sheep, the flock entrusted to them. They look at them as their own, that their lives, their souls are more important than their own. And so this is a rarity, to be honest, to find a bishop who's a shepherd like this. I would say the first two that come to my mind are Bishop Athanasius Schneider and Bishop Joseph Strickland. I'm not saying there aren't others in the world. I'm just saying these are two that come to my mind very quickly. So these men, they are willing to risk their lives for sheep. And by lives, don't think just like their physical life, like they're willing to die for their sheep. Very few people are willing to die for others. Our Lord said that himself. Obviously, bishops should give up their lives for their sheep, their physical lives. But I think we can go beyond that and also talk about the fact that livelihood, giving up their livelihood for their sheep, is a shepherd willing to risk even his own job as a bishop for his sheep? Is he willing, for example, to be thrown in jail? Is he willing to be ridiculed? Is he willing to accept the attacks of the world for his sheep? That is something a true shepherd does. And if you think about it, how many bishops out there actually does any of this happen to? How many of them get attacked by the world? How many of them get ridiculed? How many of them risk their livelihood for their sheep? It's a very small number. It's a very small number. And if we're honest, in the history of the church, The percentage of bishops who are true shepherds, as our Lord puts out, good shepherds, is small. I mean, let's be honest. And that's the human condition. If you or I were bishop, we probably, it'd be very difficult to be part of, in the part of a shepherd. So, I mean, let's be honest about that. But it, at the same time, just because it is hard doesn't mean it's not the calling of every bishop. And also, we can be assured that our Lord gives every bishop the graces in order to be a good shepherd. And so if they're not doing that, they have not accepted those graces our Lord has made available to them. So those are the shepherds, very few, especially today. Then we also have, next we have the hirelings. So the hirelings, our Lord says, he who is a hireling is not a shepherd. The sheep are not his own. And he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. He flees because he is a hireling and cares nothing for the sheep. In other words, a hireling, meaning a man who is hired, is paid to do this. He puts his own, he puts the wages are the most important thing, not the sheep. He puts his own livelihood above the sheep. And so he's not going to risk everything for the sheep. He cares nothing for them. Our Lord says that very clearly. I would argue that the vast majority of bishops are hirelings. Now, I want to make something clear. Hirelings are not bad guys. If you hire somebody and say, hey, could you do this job for me? And they do it for the wage you're given, that doesn't make them a bad guy. I don't think our Lord here is calling hirelings like bad guys. They're just not good shepherds. They're just simply hirelings. There's a limit to what they're willing to do. And the same thing is true of any hireling, if you think about it. If you're working at McDonald's and all of a sudden your boss says to you, oh, by the way, I also want you to drive to headquarters in Chicago, wherever headquarters from McDonald's is. I want you to pick up this stuff and come back. And we're just paying you minimum wage to be a burger flipper, but we're going to, I want you to do this. You're going to say, no, I'm not going to do that. It's what if he's, what if your boss says to you, I want you to protect the building when, oh, let's say BLM riots come and they start to damage and attack the McDonald's, and your boss says, I want you to go out front and defend the store. Let me tell you, I don't know about you, but I'd be heading off because I care nothing about the McDonald's. I'm just doing it for a job. So, and that doesn't make me a bad guy. If I'm working at McDonald's for minimum wage and it gets attacked, I'm not a bad guy for saying I'm out of here. I'm not protecting the store with my life. Likewise, hirelings aren't bad guys, but they're not shepherds. And God calls every bishop to be a shepherd, not a hireling. And I would argue that the vast majority of bishops are ultimately hirelings. Again, they're not bad men, but they're not going to care for the sheep when the wolves come. And we see this today in the wolves that come in our culture. So, for example, how many bishops do you know that have really stood up against the trans ideology, have really spoken out and said, this is evil, we must resist this? How many have stood up to radical feminism? How many have said, yes, we value women who stay at home with their children and raise them at home? I mean, there's not a bishop. I mean, there's almost not one bishop on earth that would say that, because they know they would be criticized. They know how much they'd be attacked if they did that. And so they will not stand up for traditional morality, for example, but traditional gender roles even. I'm not saying they have to go up there and say women should never work outside the home. I don't think that. I don't think they should say that. But they don't defend it either. They don't defend women who stay at home. When the Pope says something like Catholics shouldn't breed like rabbits, how many bishops stood up and said, Holy Father, that's disrespectful of these beautiful families that are doing everything they can, sacrificing everything, and having large families? How many of them stood up to say that? And so when the wolves come and attack the sheep, they don't stand up for them. They're not willing to really risk their livelihood, because we see what happens with Bishop Strickland. He has said these things to stand up to it, and now all of a sudden he's at the risk of losing his livelihood. He might not be the Bishop of Tyler much longer. because of him standing up to these things. Now, most bishops are hirelings. I should caveat that a little bit. We'll be about nuance here today. Most bishops, I would say, are mostly hirelings, and they do at times veer into being shepherds. They're shepherds at times and hirelings at others. They do stand up at times and they don't others. They might help their flock at times, but not others. So I would say they kind of move between hireling and shepherd, spending most of their time as a hireling. And that's a real problem. Now, so like I said, that's the vast majority of bishops. The sad thing is some bishops today are not shepherds, not hirelings, but thieves. And what do thieves do? As John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And frankly, that's what some of our bishops are doing. And I'll name a few of them. Cardinal Supich, Cardinal McElroy, Bishop Stowe in Lexington, Cardinal Gregory. How do they do this? They steal the faith from the sheep, first of all, by not proclaiming the gospel, by actually actively undermining it, by pushing, for example, the homo heresy, or pushing just all these, you know, divorced and remarried people can receive communion, denigrating Eucharistic adoration. They are stealing the faith. They are thieves. They're also killing the sheep. By that, I don't mean they go out and put a gun to some sheep's head. What I mean by that is they're killing their souls, because they're leading people into the sheep into sin, which will end up being death for their souls. So when, for example, a bishop makes it very clear by his words and his implications that homosexual activity is okay, and then somebody who has the temptation to that and then acts upon it because they one of the factors is they don't think it's wrong because their bishop said something to the effect that wasn't wrong. They just killed their souls. And the bishop is the one who did it, because the bishop is a thief. And so we have bishops that are not shepherds, and they're not even hirelings. I would wish they were hirelings, but they're thieves. They actively try to steal the flock. They actively kill and destroy the flock. And like I said, we have those today. I personally don't think most of our bishops are thieves. I think what it is most of them are hirelings, and so they say nothing about the thief. When the hireling sees a thief jump over the wall to steal the sheep, he doesn't say anything, because he's afraid if he does, he doesn't go actively try to resist that thief, because he knows if he does, the thief could attack him. And he's like, well, better to give up a few sheep than me to be attacked. That's what the hireling does. And that is the episcopacy today. We have hirelings who do not speak out against these thieves, the wolves from the world coming in, but also the thieves within the episcopacy coming in and stealing and destroying and killing. So they don't speak out against Cardinal Supich. They don't speak out against Cardinal McElroy, possibly because they're cardinals. And they say, well, they have the stamp of approval from the Vatican on them. I can't say anything against that. But if you're a bishop of the Catholic Church, you are a successor to the apostles. You are given a divine mandate that does not come from Rome, but comes from God himself. And so you do need to speak out against them. I know for a fact that a lot of bishops do not like, for example, Cardinal Supich. They do not like him. They think he's awful. They wish he was not so influential. Do they say anything publicly? No, they don't. And that's the problem. They need to speak out against them. They're being hirelings. When a thief, a Cardinal Supich, who is a thief, when he comes, they don't say anything against it. And so that is really the types of bishops we have. We have a few shepherds, a small number, a Bishop Strickland, a Bishop Schneider, a few others. A Bishop Corleone at times, Archbishop Corleone. I think he is more shepherd than hireling. I sometimes do wish he would do a little bit more. Speak out more, but I mean, he's definitely done things that a shepherd would do. And then we have the hirelings, who are most bishops. And then we have the thieves, the Cardinal Supiches, McElroy, Gregory, people like that, who are thieves. Okay, so the question I'm often asked then, what can we do about it? I would imagine, although the title of this episode was addressed to bishops, my guess is not many bishops are actually watching it. I hope some are. If you are, Your Excellency, know we're praying for you, whoever you are. I know it's mostly lay people and some priests who listen and tune into the podcast. So what can we do? Now, people ask me, oh, should I write a letter to my bishop to complain? As somebody who worked in a diocese and saw these letters come in, I can tell you they have some impact, but not a lot. They mostly have an impact when they are a lot of them with the same view. The random letter about one problem in one area that nobody else writes about is basically gets a form letter back and does not move the needle at all. If a lot of Catholics write in about a specific issue, like Father so-and-so is a little too friendly with the altar servers, yeah, okay, that could have an impact. Or that even that he's saying something heretical, or a lot of people write in, that will have an impact. That will move the needle. But the fact is that I'm talking about hireling bishops or shepherds when I say that. If your bishop is a thief, a cardinal, if you live in Chicago, for example, San Diego, something like that, it's not going to help at all. They do not care. They are ideologically driven to steal and kill and destroy. Your letters are going to have no impact whatsoever. And so I would just honestly, I mean, I'm not saying you can't write the letter. If that is on your conscience and you feel you need to do that, do that. At the same time, it will not have any impact. It will not move the needle, even if a lot of people do it. These people are actively working against the Catholic faith. So when you write a letter asking them to defend the Catholic faith, they see that as somebody asking for the opposite of what they think they should do. And so honestly, if it's a thief, I would just say you oppose them publicly when you can and you pray for them. If it is a hireling, yes, write to them. If it's a shepherd, thank them. Write to thank them. And the hirelings too, when they do something good. Write to thank them and write when something goes wrong. I really do think you should do that. It does have an impact. I know it moves the needle. And priests are less likely to go out, off the reservation, so to speak, if a lot of people write into the bishop, because the bishop will contact them and talk to them. Most bishops, obviously every bishop's a little bit different, but in general, that will happen. Now, I want to bring back something I said at the beginning of this podcast, and that was talking about it, complaining about bishops. It is the danger in our world today that we will spend all our time complaining about bishops, focus too much on bishops. I want to say here, I honestly believe the episcopacy is the most important office in the church. Period. End of story. I think it's the most important. Without the bishops, we don't have apostolic succession. We don't have priests. We don't have the sacraments. We have nothing without bishops. And so they are very important. We're not Protestants where we're just like, okay, we don't like these leaders, we'll go form our own church or something like that. No, we are stuck with the bishops, whether we like it or not. Our Lord believed that we needed bishops. Our Lord believed we needed bishops in order for the church to be successful, for the church to live and survive. That's how he did it. We cannot question that. And so there is the danger that we complain about bishops too much. But I think if we do it in a sense of, if we're criticizing because we're calling them out and we're begging them to go from being a hireling to being a shepherd, I don't see anything wrong with that. As long as it's done in the spirit of prayer. If you're not praying and fasting for your bishops, don't complain about them. I'll say that again. If you're not praying and fasting for your bishop, do not complain about him. But if you are praying and fasting for your bishop, there's nothing wrong with publicly criticizing your bishop if he does something wrong. First, maybe go to him in private, try to write a letter, but if nothing happens, yes, go ahead and publicly say something against him. In a charitable fashion, yes, but in a clear fashion. And I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And so I see that a lot where you'll see Catholics say, well, instead of complaining about the bishop, you should pray for him. It's not either or. What about both? What about we pray and fast for them and we also criticize them at times? And so I think as Catholics, we need to hold the office of the episcopacy much higher than we do. We can't look at them as middle managers of the Vatican. We can't look at them as political figures. We need to look at them as successors to the apostles, as divinely ordained to lead the church and to protect the church from error, to protect the church from attacks. They are essential to the Catholic faith. The episcopacy, the bishops are essential. They are the apostles today. Their office is slightly different than the office of the apostles for those theologically minded. And yes, I know there's differences, but they are apostles today. If we live in the time of the apostles, I hope we would be praying and fasting for the apostles. But at the same time, if Peter did something that was off, I think it's okay, just like St. Paul, to say, Peter, you need to do better. Today is the feast. Today I'm recording this is the feast of St. James, the apostle. If St. James did something that he shouldn't have done, like when he ran in the Passion of our Lord, nothing wrong with saying, you know, calling him to that and saying you shouldn't have done that. So I definitely think we need to treat them as our bishops. And I do think there is a problem on the other side. So on the one side, the people say we never criticize the bishops. I think they're wrong. But I do think there is a danger, yes, of living our life criticizing the bishops, where that becomes the only thing we do, and that we do it in a derogatory way that's insulting. I don't like when I see Catholics give names to bishops, kind of insinuating they're homosexual or just kind of demeaning them. I don't see any purpose to that other than bad purposes. I think what we do is we treat their office with respect, and we call them by their actual names. We can call them Your Excellency, all that stuff. We call them Cardinal or Bishop, whatever. But at the same time, and so we do that, showing our respect for the office, but at the same time, being willing to outwardly criticize them. So we don't want to do anything that undermines the office of the bishop. So I'll finish up here, and I just want to say, ask yourself, is your bishop a shepherd, a hireling, or a thief? If he's a shepherd, thank God. Thank God, and thank him. Write to him this week and say, thank you for being a shepherd, Your Excellency. Thank you for being a shepherd of souls. Know that I am praying for you. I am fasting for you. Know that your intentions are on my heart. If they are a hireling, thank them when they do something good, but also be willing to call them out when they're unwilling to stand up to our culture today. If, for example, they let a Father James Martin speak in the diocese, call that out. If they do not say anything about transgenderism, perhaps at a Catholic school in their diocese, call that out. If they don't speak up for reverence for the Eucharist, if they don't speak up against abortion, things like that, yes, call them out. Tell them you're praying and fasting for them, but call them out. And if your bishop is a thief, pray and fast for them, but honestly for their conversion to the Catholic faith. I mean, I have no problem saying that somebody like Cardinal Supich needs to convert to Catholicism. He is not a practicing Catholic. He may be a bishop of the Catholic Church. And I acknowledge, I'm not saying he's not a valid bishop. I'm not saying he's not the ordinary of Chicago, Archdiocese of Chicago, but I am saying he's not a practicing Catholic. And so pray and fast for him and know that that the Lord will judge the thieves on the great judgment day. And so that's really all we can hope for. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up there. I really feel like it's been on my heart a lot recently about the bishops and their office and how important it is that we pray for them, how important it is we show respect to the office of the episcopacy, but also how important it is that we encourage and even challenge our bishops to not be thieves, obviously, to not be hirelings, but to be true shepherds of souls. Okay, well, that's it for today. Until next time, everybody, God love you.